First Peter, chapter number 5, verse number 1. First Peter, chapter number 5, verse number 1. I'm continuing teaching on the church tonight, and I'm going to be a little bit more teachy tonight than I am preachy. But I want to talk to you. My subject is outside interference, the enemy of the church. Outside interference, the enemy of the church. I could call it this, the doctrine we never seem to learn. And I'm going to show you tonight how that we never seem to learn that it's dangerous to have outside interference. And I say the church now, I'm talking about the only church there is, the local body of believers like this church right here. All right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. This is Peter talking now. Elder meaning the word meaning pastor, bishop, all three the same office. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. He said, I saw him when he was raised from the dead. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. In other words, he's saying, don't force your way to be leaders of the flock, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, that's monetary reward, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords, and the word lord there means you don't become a tyrant, telling them what to do and reminding them that you're the boss and so forth, over God's heritage, but being examples or in samples, it says, to the flock. Our Heavenly Father, it's almost, events of today are almost so rapidly happening. It's hard to keep up with them. And it's hard for us to realize the spiritual and religious significance of these events. I mean, here we are talking about sending Bibles to Russia, and folks are sending Bibles to Russia now and have freedom to do so. The place where I was just this week, French Bibles, they're sending 100,000 Bibles to Soviet Russia. Thank you for the privilege of being alive in this era, in this generation. Now bless us tonight as we try to take history and focus it in on this age. Bless our study. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I really want our people to be alerted to the conditions of our day and to the truth about the local church or the church. Help us to listen carefully tonight and give me, I pray, an alert mind. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to follow me very, very carefully. I am not going to attempt to go into any kind of a detail, but I'm going to sort of teach you, hit the high spots as it deals with the outside interference, the enemy of the church. I want to start off with saying this. I was in Nassau a couple weeks ago. The pastor there is a splendid man, church, splendid church. Much the quality of the people we have, much the social standing of the people we have, and much like our church in the way they have their services and everything. He told me that he started the church there several years ago. Here's something I want you to get. He said, before he could come to Nassau, the Baptist conference met and had to grant him permission to come to Nassau, start a church. Now think about that a minute. Baptists, the folks that are dedicated to the freedom of religion, and they had to get permission not only from them, but also the state working with the Baptists. And they said at first he couldn't come. And here's what they said. We have enough Baptist churches already here. And now I'm starting with that. I'm going to go way back down and come back to that in a few minutes. That's Baptist. I'm talking about Catholics now. I'm talking about a pope. We are talking about a Baptist pope saying you can't come here without our permission. Now follow me. The New Testament churches grew to be very, very large. For example, in Acts 2:41, it says 3,000 people were added to the church. Acts 4:14, I think it is, or 4:4 maybe, 14, not churches. It says that I think 5,000 more were added to the church. And then in Acts 5:14, it talks about they multiplied. So they had to have at least, let's see, if they had 120 to start off with, and 3,000 added to that, 3,120. 5,000 added to that is 8,120. And they multiplied, the smallest number you can multiply by is 2, so they had to have 16,240 church members in the one church in Jerusalem. And probably, no doubt about it, they multiplied by 2 instead of they multiplied. So the churches grew to be very large. We think about Paul writing the church at Ephesus. He's writing a little handful of people meeting in a storefront building or in an attic somewhere. No, he's not. He's writing to a huge, huge church of probably this proportion. And so the churches grew to be very, very large. The church at Jerusalem, it is estimated, had somewhere between 25,000 and 50,000 church members. Now, the same is true with the church at Ephesus, the church at Antioch, the church at Corinth, the churches. Now, we know one thing, according to Acts 20:17, that these churches each had many pastors. Just like we have pastors here on the platform tonight, we have many pastors here at First Baptist Church, and these churches had many pastors or elders. Now, follow me carefully. The larger churches began to assume authority over the smaller churches, and they began to interfere. Now, there's so many things the larger churches could do. Today, for example, larger church could write literature and provide literature for the smaller churches. The larger churches could provide Sunday school material and so forth for the smaller churches. But be it as it may, as they got bigger, opposition began to develop. Now, there's several things that came into the church. One was an era concerning salvation. They became very ceremonial, and the preaching of the gospel of salvation by grace through faith was attacked. Baptismal regeneration, baptismal regeneration became very popular, and infant baptism. And by the way, in those days, infant baptism was by immersion. And they immersed these infants. In fact, that's really where sprinkling came from originally. They thought it was so dangerous to immerse these infants that they began to pour on them, and then they began to sprinkle on them, and then they began to sprinkle on the older people too. And but opposition began to grow. Now, hear me carefully. As the churches grew, the opposition grew. Always the case. The devil's not concerned if we're not reaching anybody. He's only concerned if we are reaching somebody. So the persecution came. John the Baptist was beheaded. Stephen was stoned. Matthew was killed in Ethiopia. Mark was dragged through the streets until dead. Luke was hanged. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was tied to a cross. James was beheaded. Philip was crucified and stoned. Bartholomew was flayed alive. Thomas was pierced with lances. James the Less was thrown from the temple and beaten to death. Jude was shot with arrows. Matthias was stoned. Paul was beheaded. And this is what was happening to the churches because they were growing rapidly. Now, I want you to follow me. Up until now, these churches were independent churches. Now, they had some influence on each other, but they had no organization whatsoever, and they continued to grow. Now, as these churches grew, they not only grew in number, but they spread over the parts of the world. In fact, they covered the entire Roman Empire. Don't miss this now. They covered them. I'm going to tell you where the Catholic Church in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, as we know it was started. They grew, and they covered the entire Roman Empire, but they wanted to get together. Now listen, a desire to get together is always a lack of faith. It's caused by a lack of faith. People organize because they do not think God can take care of them. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a church organization or a political organization or an organization of nations. It's because of a lack of faith. The question is, can God take care of you or not? That's the question. Can God take care of this church or not? That is the question.
Well, that as a person loses, see, centralized government comes as faith goes. And decentralization of government comes as faith increases. So these churches began to want to get together. Well, in 313, a new emperor came to the Roman Empire. His name was Constantine. Constantine's been given far too much credit. Many preachers quote him while they're preaching. I probably do myself. But he became emperor of the Roman Empire. He had a vision. The vision he had, I mean a literal vision, the vision he had was a fiery cross in the sky. And the words, these words, "By this thou shalt conquer." Well, Constantine saw that fiery cross in the sky and those words, "By this thou shalt conquer." And he said, that means I'm supposed to conquer by Christianity. So Constantine was converted. And maybe he had a genuine conversion experience. But Constantine got the idea that he was supposed to conquer by the cross. So he foresaw a marriage of the Roman Empire and the church and religion. So what he wanted to do, he wanted to cover the entire Roman Empire with this religion, Christianity, and he brought the church and the state together. And hence you had an attempt by Constantine to have a world religion and a world political system. Does that remind you of anything? It's the political Babylon, ecclesiastical Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18, and the political Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18. Now follow me carefully. This concept had been started by Nimrod way back down to the early days of Genesis, but it never had been organized since the New Testament church was started in a hierarchy until Constantine did it in 313. So Constantine started, basically got all these churches together and started this move. But there were some churches would not get involved. Guess what these churches were? These were Baptist churches. They would not get involved in this new world council or federal council or Roman council of churches. You see, it's always been, I don't leave it now because I'm going to show you something in a few minutes. It has always been the desire of the devil to get all of us under one canopy. That's always, union is not God's word, union is the devil's word. Unity is God's word, that we voluntarily agree on something, but union, an organization of churches together and of nations together, is never of God. The United Nations is not of God. It's of the devil. The World Council of Churches is not of God. It's of the devil. But the first World Council of Churches that, since the New Testament church, was Catholicism. Because Constantine wanted to have a universal government and a universal church, and from that came the doctrine of the invisible or the universal church. And of course I showed you how our non-denominational friends came from the Protestants, and that's why Mr. Scofield here has the heresy of the universal invisible church in the Scofield Bible. Because Mr. Scofield came from a group that came from Catholicism, which came from the union of churches in the days of Constantine. Now then, so now we have all the churches together except a few little scattering of Baptists. Wait a minute. Most Baptists went into this deal. It's always been the case. I have right here in my hand tonight. Somebody handed it to me. Let me read this to you just about a paragraph or so. Southern Baptists and Roman Catholics, the nation's two largest denominations, generally have been regarded as doctrinally far apart, but their scholars find they basically agree. Scholars are full of prunes, by the way. Those are my words. And despite varied terminology and some real differences, quote, "we do share a basic understanding of what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ by the grace of God," says their joint report. Oh, stay away from the joint. And after 10 years of periodic discussions, the Baptist-Catholic Dialogue Group, quoting Ephesians 4:5, concludes, "we not only confess but experience one Lord, one faith, one baptism." Now, do you think that those Southern Baptist churches are New Testament churches not on your life? The great book of Baptist people have always been headed toward apostasy. The Baptist perpetuity has been in the independent Baptist churches, those that would not join up Well, enough of that.
Hey, someone throw that away. Somebody's going to get that, and I want it.
Anyway, you have the hierarchy under Constantine over here, and a relatively few, comparatively few, New Testament Baptist churches. Now then, they kept on going, and I'm skipping an awful lot here, they kept on going till 869, and Constantine's hierarchy divided. Of course, Constantine was long gone by that time, and the Greek Catholic Church separated in 869 from the Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Catholic Church keeps on going. Now, in the 16th century, we have what is called the Reformation. And in the Reformation, Protestants came out. For example, in 1541, the Presbyterians came out. In 1530, the Lutherans, and in 1531, the Church of England, and so forth. But now, wait a minute. So we have Baptist churches over here, Roman Catholicism over here. Now we have another group over here called the Greek Catholic Church. Now then, we have the Reformation, and out comes from the Roman Catholic Church your Protestant denominations under Martin Luther and John Calvin and others. Now, well, here's the thing about it. The Greek Catholic Church left the Roman Catholic Church. There are many reasons, and you historians have mercy on me now, but I'm just giving you I'm just hitting the high spots. They did not want to be governed by Rome. They wanted their freedom. So the Greek Catholic Church came out of the Roman Catholic Church for their freedom. But guess what they did? They turned around and wouldn't give people freedom unto them. It's amazing. Most people don't want freedom. They want their freedom. See? People who fight for freedom will turn around and slave anybody if they can get by with it. So what happened was that the Greek Catholic Church came out, and they turned around after getting their own freedom, and then they turned around and enslaved people in their religion, and again, state religion. All we have so far, up to the Middle Ages, the Reformation, all we have so far is the state church and the Baptist churches. That's basically it. The state churches and the Baptist churches. Now, Reformation time come in the 16th century. Lutherans came out. But guess what the Lutherans did? They fought for their own freedom, and then they enslaved people where they were. And the Presbyterians fought for their own freedom and enslaved people where they were. It's interesting, isn't it? That they said, we want to be free. We'll fight to be free. No, but you want to be free yourself, but you want to enslave others. So anywhere that the Presbyterians went, there was no religious freedom. Anywhere that the Lutherans went, there was no religious freedom. Anywhere the Congregationalist folks went, no religious freedom. And as these people pulled out for their own freedom, they still fought for the state church and fought for others to have no freedom. But all the time, you got these little Baptist people nipping at everybody's heels. All the time. There never has been a time, I don't care where it is, never has been a time for what these little independent Baptist churches call some couples. And while others are building cathedrals there in the catacombs, while others are building cathedrals there in storefront buildings, while others are building coliseums, they're being killed in those coliseums. But they keep bothering everybody. Now, you know why they keep bothering everybody? Because it's the only group that preached the gospel and was evangelistic and believed in getting folks saved. Well, guess who's going to grow? Folks who get folks saved are going to grow. Guess who's going to die? Folks who don't get folks saved are going to die. You have to be evangelistic as a matter of survival. And because as the older people die off, no converts coming on. So these Baptist people kept on growing. And the more they be persecuted, the more these folks would grow. And everywhere, the Presbyterians tried to put them down, but they couldn't put them down. They're like Johnson grass. If you cut one off, some seed will spread, and a bunch of others will grow up. And the Church of England tried to suppress them, and they couldn't. And the Lutherans tried to suppress them. Hey, folks, we are insuppressible. You can't, and no way, go pass all the laws you want to. But see, he said, Brother Hobbs, what keeps these Baptist people alive? Well, a promise that Jesus made back in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, that upon this rock he'd build his church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Guess where the gates of hell are? Roman Catholic Church. And the little doors from hell of the Protestant churches came out of Roman Catholic Church. Now, Everywhere every time that somebody pulled out, they fought for their freedom, but they would not give it to those under them in their countries and in their areas. Why? Because they still believe in the state church. Constantine did the world a great disservice. But in our post-New Testament church age, he decided that he was going to join the church and the state together. Now then, here comes America. Our founding fathers decided that they wanted, and boy, we love to say this, our founding fathers, they came for religious freedom. No, they didn't. They came for their religious freedom. For example, in the northern colonies, I'm talking about Massachusetts up in that area, two religions basically started, were there, Congregationalists and Presbyterians. And then down in Virginia, in the southern colonies, you had basically your Episcopalians, the Church of England, are Episcopalians. But here's something strange. Our founding fathers, they went to Holland trying to find freedom and came to America trying to find freedom. But when they got here, they didn't establish freedom. They established freedom for themselves. And these dear saintly people that we give credit to coming over here, and they fought and they died for our freedom of religion. No, they didn't. They fought and died for their freedom of religion. And they turned right around in the northern colonies, Congregationalists and the Presbyterians made it against the law for Baptists to exist. And in the southern colony, around Virginia, southern colonies, the Episcopalians made it against the law for the Baptists to exist. But just as Constantine had trouble with the Baptists, and just as they kept on having trouble in every country with the Baptists, and just as after the Reformation started, Martin Luther still had trouble with the Baptists. He hated the Baptists, and if Martin Luther were alive today, he wouldn't spit on his church that's burning down. He may spit on it, but not of his own fire. Martin Luther was not our kind of Christian. And John Calvin was not our kind of Christian. And you Howells Anderson College preacher boys haven't got any business reading their sermons. They taught heresy. Now, he was a great man. Martin Luther was a great man. A courageous man. But Martin Luther was not fighting for religious freedom. He was fighting for his religious freedom. And then he turned around and established his own hierarchy, and then persecuted these little Baptists. God, thank God, these little Baptist people always causing trouble, and always splitting off of somebody, and always hanging around, and always preaching the gospel, and having revivals, and getting people saved, and baptizing folks after they got saved, and so forth. Now, here's what happened. They set up their religion as a state religion too. And they who sought religious freedom forbade religious freedom in their own colonies. And the United States of America in the colonies did not have religious freedom. In these, what happened, in these immigrations, as the colonists came over, on every boat, they had a problem. Some Baptists snuck in. On every boat. They're causing trouble everywhere. Just like we're causing trouble in Hammond right now. Ministerial Association of Hammond hadn't got the foggiest idea what to do with us. I mean, I won't go. Unless I go to TP the place, I won't go. Back in the early days, you'd be shocked how many resolutions they passed against us. I mean, I'd get a letter about every month. The local Hammond Ministerial Association has passed letters. You can't do this. You can't do that. Well, I'm sorry. I smell the blood of the Ministerial Association, man. But Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall in there. And they're not going to tell us what to do. And they don't know what to do with us. Back down to years ago, we started visiting everybody in the area. We had lost a loved one and started visiting everybody in the area that had a wreck and started visiting everybody in the area that had a baby. And the Ministerial Association, they passed a resolution that we couldn't do that. But guess what? We went on and did it anyhow. Because our crowds always cause trouble. You know why? Because our crowd is for everybody's freedom. See? We'll fight for that Catholic Church over there for its right to exist. And folks will sit here right now and criticize me for saying what I'm saying about the Catholic Church, when the truth is, that church over there, if they had their way, we would not have the freedom to open these doors tonight. And the whole Catholic hierarchy is that way. I don't believe that. Well, check the countries where they're the boss, where they're the majority. Just check them out. All right? So, these Baptists came over, and on every vote, you had a few Baptists. Now, these Baptists got over here, and they refused infant baptism and preached the gospel. And so what happened? It was a law set for the Presbyterians, Congregationalists, and the Episcopalians in the colonies that it was against the law for anybody to refuse infant baptism or to preach the gospel. Now, what was the penalty? Don't leave me now. I'm going to get down to something, apply this in a minute. What was the penalty? The penalty was imprisonment, fine, being whipped, your property taken, and banished. Now, what was it to be banished? Banishment meant that they turned you over to the Indians. That's exactly what it meant. If you were banished, and so what? If you wouldn't get baptized your baby, or if you baptized after conversion, or if you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe his baptism right here in America, those people that came over here that we give so much credit to for coming for religious freedom, they banished Baptists from the colonists to the Indians. One of these guys' name was banished was Roger Williams. You've heard about Roger Williams. He was banished. But here's the interesting thing. Roger Williams made friends with the Indians. There's another guy named John Clark was with Roger Williams in this. But Roger Williams made friends with the Indians, and he saved the neck of the colony that he was from because the Indians were going to take care of him, and he saved the neck that the colony is from because the Indians did what he said. But now, wait a minute. Roger Williams and John Clark had no place to have freedom of worship. They decided to start their own colony. They tried to find some land and found a little piece of land, a little tiny piece of land. I get this. Little tiny piece of land. And started their own colony. But they could not get permission from England to recognize them as a colony back in those days before the Revolution. And they couldn't get permission from England. And so John Clark went, say, 10 or 15 years over in England lobbying to try to get that little colony, a little place recognized as a colony that he and Roger Williams had started. That little colony they started is now the state of Rhode Island. The state of Rhode Island was finally recognized as a colony. That's why it's so tiny. Because it was started by a couple of Baptist preachers. That's interesting, isn't it? State of Rhode Island started by a couple of Baptist preachers. It's not interesting, is it? But to me it is. But anyway, they finally got, and they drew up the Constitution. The Constitution of the state of Rhode Island included religious freedom for everybody. And that was the world's first governmental declaration of religious liberty. First ever in the state of Rhode Island. Now then, here's what I'm trying to say. The Constantine, they all got everybody together. Then the Greek Catholic people said, we're going to be free. They fought for their freedom and then suppressed everybody under them. And the Reformation came and Luther said, we'll be free. He fought for his freedom and suppressed everybody under him. And Calvin said, we'll be free and fought for his freedom and suppressed everybody under him. Now, every generation from that day until this day has been interested in its own freedom and yet in suppressing others and not allowing everybody to have religious freedom. A little group of born-again, blood-washed Baptist people preaching the gospel, baptized their converts, refusing to baptize their babies, were spreading the gospel, and they were preaching and teaching separation of church and state and religious freedom for everybody. I'll say something else today, too. The only group in the world today, religious group, that is actively fighting for freedom for everybody is a little group of independent Baptist people. The Southern Baptist Convention is a hierarchy. They'll blackball you just like the Catholics used to blackball people. You belong to us, you know what we say, or you can't be with us. I know, I've been there. I've been right through it. I mean, we'll forget that Times Herald newspaper in Dallas, a big good Dallas newspaper. A headline, front page, Baptist oust two unbossable churches. That was Joe Boyd and Jack Hiles. By the way, it happened on October the 10th. October the 10th is the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, they took two goats. They killed one, led the other out in the wilderness, never to return. So, that Southern Baptists still observe, at least then, the Day of Atonement. They took two goats and they killed Joe and took me out in the wilderness, but or vice versa. But I'm saying, see, who's fighting for freedom of religion? Independent Baptists. What that church across the street doesn't realize is the fact that the truth is, if it weren't for us, nobody would be fighting for their right to be over there. Because the honest, and here's the thing about it, every time a group pulls out, I can recall a little later, did you know Southern Baptists used to be American Baptists? But Southern Baptists said, we want our freedom. But they didn't want anybody else's freedom. So they pulled out the American Baptist Convention and started the Southern Baptist Convention. So what happened? A bunch of fellows back down a few years ago, and I can recall this, said, we want our freedom. So they pulled out the Southern Baptist Convention and started the Baptist Bible Fellowship. Now then, after all these years, if you're not the Baptist Bible Fellowship, your name is blackballed among a lot of people. You've got to have your union card. But bless God, just as there was back yonder in the days of Constantine, to this very day, there are a bunch of little independent Baptist churches all over this country just raising the devil all the time, causing trouble everywhere they are fighting in the courts for their right to exist, fighting in the courts for the freedom of their schools, fighting in the courts not to be licensed with the state educational department. Fighting for what? Fighting for our freedom, but not only for our freedom, for everybody's freedom. Now, let's go back to Nassau. Baptist in Nassau. Dare to bear the name Baptist and not have freedom for a Baptist preacher to come and start a church in Nassau. Southern Baptist, according to this article I've got, Southern Baptist lining up with Roman Catholicism. And it's only a matter of time they will. I said again, somebody said the other day, Brother House, will you take anybody's baptism that's Baptist? Will you take anybody by transfer membership from Baptist church? They call that, alien immersion. If you'll take anybody by transfer from a church that's not Baptist, I said we're stricter than that. We won't take baptism from all Baptist churches. If an American Baptist church that doesn't believe this book baptized you, you're not baptized. And if you get in this church, if I have anything to do about it, you're going to get baptized again. But I'm simply saying that all of it is basically a desire for control on the part of whatever group fought for its own freedom. I want to give some observations. One, as I said, we go over and over the same thing. Every generation goes over. And by the way, every generation has to fight for its own freedom and for the freedom of others. I was down in Bill Rice Ranch several years ago. Dr. Bill III said to me, he said, Brother Howe, he said, have mercy on us younger fellows, second generation fundamentalist. He said, my dad and Uncle John Rice, and Dr. Robertson, and you, Brother Hiles, you fellows fought back yonder as the sort of the pioneers of fundamentalism, independent Baptist ministries and so forth. You fought back there. But he said, we're second generation people. And he said, we didn't shed the blood you did and shed the tears you did, and we didn't fight the battles you fought. So we're just not quite as fiery as you are. And have mercy on us. And I said, you hang around, and you'll have time, your opportunity, in your generation to stand. That opportunity has come. It's here. It's come. Every generation has got to declare its own independence. Every generation of local churches have to say, we'll be free. I don't mean Baptists will be free. I mean local Baptist churches will be free. Now, here's what the devil does.
devil comes along and says, okay, I'll give you some good things. No. Being enslaved to good people is wrong too. Second observation. We will fight for our freedom and at the same time enslave others. Third observation. We start the new structure with the same seeds of death that caused the last generation to die. For example, it's funny. You can go to these so-called independent Baptist meetings, these annual things, and it's just like it used to be in the last Southern Baptist. We'll have the reading of the minutes. We're going to have a business meeting after a while. We're going to read the minutes here too. But the church is supposed to take care of business, but the denomination is not supposed to.
And now it's time to nominate officers. Who wants to be president? I'll nominate so-and-so president.
Sorry, there's no New Testament office of president over some churches. None.
So what we do, we somehow pull out of that which enslaved us and then start again exactly where they started, building the same machinery that caused them to die, and as sure as 2 and 2 equals 4, this machinery will kill any group, no matter how fundamental it is.
Did you know it's just as wrong for a church to be enslaved to Jack Hiles as it is Norman Vincent Peale? It's not being enslaved to bad people that's bad, it's being enslaved that's bad. It's not losing your freedom that's bad. I'm sorry, it's not losing your freedom to tyrants that's bad, it's losing your freedom that's bad. So what happens? You know what? Here, follow me carefully. Here's a little preacher, and he's been enslaved. He's been a nut and a screwball and a nitwit and a lame brain and a fanatic all his life. And boy, they start fighting and say, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be, we're going to be free. So a bunch of those little guys get together, and all of a sudden after they get independent, they see stars in their eyes, and maybe I can be somebody after all. Maybe I could be the president of the Independent Baptist Fellowship of Lake County, Indiana. Well, hogwash on the Independent Baptist Fellowship of Lake County, Indiana. Let's just have a bunch of churches in Lake County, Indiana. You see. Because what we do, and I'm trying to bring you up to date on what's going on in fundamentalism in America, in our churches. And I don't care what group it is, brother, if it pulls out for its freedom and starts the same machinery that caused the American Baptist to die and the Southern Baptist to die, it'll die too. And it'll turn around and those who were slaves become those who were Moses become pharaohs, and those who were Israelites in bondage in Egypt get outside of Egypt and start their own Egypt in the wilderness. Listen, freedom is freedom. And slavery is slavery, regardless of who's involved. So, you say, what's the answer? Totally independent churches is the answer. Totally independent churches is the answer. We have in our church what we call the stepping stones for the junior girls, the cornerstones for the junior high girls, and the stumbling blocks for the adult ladies. But we don't have Awana. But you say, hold it, Brother Hiles. Awana's good. Doesn't matter whether it's good or not. It's nobody's business sitting in an office somewhere in Wheaton, Illinois, or in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, or in Los Angeles, California. It's nobody's business in those offices what we do. So I'm saying that the answer is totally independent Baptist churches. But for the house, are you a loner? Well, I'm not a loner. I'll guarantee you. I know more preachers by name than any Southern Baptist preacher in America. What to do? You check our pastor school attendance last year with the Baptist Bible Fellowship attendance. You check our pastor school last year with the Southwide Baptist Fellowship attendance. And nobody's trying to boss anybody. We just putting our church out here, our cafeteria, and say, come by and get what you want and leave the rest. Nobody's going to be blacklisted if they don't come. cooperation. I was in Eastern Tennessee this week. I got there Monday night, and I saw a big bus there. A busload of people came over. You know why? Because I wrote them ahead of time, and I said, if you don't come here and preach on Monday night, I'm going to blackball you all over the country. Of course I didn't do that. But they volunteered to come. And we had 30 preachers or so there. Numbers of them brought some of their people. I'm saying, when churches go together, anytime death and life gets together, death is going to affect life. Anytime a fun, oh, you say, Brother Howes, I belong to the denomination. 52% of our people believe the Bible. They won't next year. And they won't the next year. I'm saying, history tells us. When Constantine started this hierarchy, somebody said, we'll be free. So the Greeks pulled out. And then they enslaved people of them. And then Martin Luther said, we'll be free. Martin Luther pulled out for his freedom and then enslaved folks under him. See, folks, it is the philosophy of interference outside the local church that's wrong. It's not whether it's good or bad interference. Our churches are dying because we're letting somebody off in some office somewhere we never have met write the literature that our people teach on Sunday. It's pitiful. It's stupid. Don't know the guy. I mean, the guy may chew the back of all you know. Don't know him. And the interference. That's one reason why these missionaries go out. They go out and they go to churches and try to get churches support. They don't go to any denomination and say, would you support me? If they don't find support themselves, they don't make it. And that's why they're good missionaries too, brother. I mean, you run faster when you're scared and hungry. Consequently, the answer is cooperation only. Not to be enslaved and not to enslave. Now, that's the difference. That's the difference between independent Baptist churches and every other religious movement the world's ever seen since the New Testament church started. The difference is we will not be enslaved and we will not enslave. You heard me say this. They come every year at pastor school. They say, how won't you start a new movement? Well, it's already started. It's called the local church. I mean, if we're going to take time starting something, let's go out and start a church somewhere. But if you start a new movement, then you've got the exact framework that causes people to lose their freedom. And the seeds of death are sown. And that's why I am going to die screaming. Let every church be its own boss. Let every church be autonomous and indigenous. What does that mean? Well, that's when you don't feel good in your stomach. Okay? But every church be autonomous and indigenous. You know why we're sick in our stomach? Because these bosses are around here. Makes me indigenous. But anyway, quicker you laugh, the quicker we get out of here, I'll tell you for sure. But that's what we need. We don't need any more bosses. I was out in the West, Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, a few months ago. And I see, you don't know the followers that this church has around this country. You haven't got the foggiest idea. But I mean, they're legion, all of this country. And both those guys got together and said, hey, Brother House, says, you're the focal point right now. Why don't you start a new fellowship? Okay, so I start a new fellowship. What's going to happen? We're going to have a good time for a while. Then I'm going to die. And somebody's going to say, I'd like to be in charge of that. And death always migrates to the top. You go out and look at a dead fish, they're always on top. Always on top. So death always comes to the top. And some guy will take over. And the very movement that I started, we'll be doing the very same thing to other people that we fought to alleviate ourselves from. So let the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, cooperate with everybody that every New Testament church in the world. But let us have union with none. And by the way, let us propagate this.
Let us propagate across America the importance of independent, indigenous, autonomous local churches. Now, you students are going to go home and say, preacher, you're of the devil. You belong to the Baptist Bible Fellowship. No. The Baptist Bible Fellowship has not deteriorated yet. There are no liberals in the Baptist Bible Fellowship. There will be, but they're not now. So it has not deteriorated. So nothing sinful about it. But let's just don't start anything else that can enslave the folks. I do not want to start something that will put folks in slavery after I'm in heaven. The interference into the local church has been the deterioration of every generation. And it started basically with Constantine when he said, by the way, I think Constantine thought he'd get more people saved if he'd make them get saved. I think it was a militant evangelism. It's what you call, guillotine evangelism. You get saved or, but he built a hierarchy that took away the freedoms. And those whose freedoms were taken pulled out of the hierarchy and took away the freedoms of others. And they pulled out and took away the freedoms of others. Let our church continue as she's doing now. Lift up the importance of the fact that, okay, the Dyer Baptist Church out here, it's none of my business what they do. None. Now, if they want to get some of my books and read them, they'd be very wise. But they can use what they want to use, and it's their business. And it's none of their business what we do. And it's none of my business what the Lowell Baptist Church does. None of their business what I do. But if Dr. Robertson preaches out Lowell Baptist Church, we'll announce it. Some of our folks will go out there. That's what it ought to be. Cooperation, unity, but not union. And the entire, by the way, let's fight for it. Well, that's fine. Every generation has to have those little Baptists causing trouble. If we don't, nobody's fighting for it. Because the only group in America tonight fighting for everybody's religious freedom is a little group called Independent Baptist People. Everybody else wants to enslave. No, they told me. They told me in the Southern Baptist Convention. They said, you continue your association with Lester Roloff, John Rice, and Lee Robertson, and you will never speak again at a Southern Baptist meeting. I chose Lee Robertson, John Rice, Lester Roloff over the entire Southern Baptist Convention, 30,000 churches, and I got the best of the deal. But they told me, you either disassociate yourself with John Rice, Lester Roloff, and Lee Robertson, or you're out. Well, please don't misunderstand me, but that doesn't sit too well with me. Ultimatums have never been my favorite things. I don't give them, and I don't take them. I believe in cooperation, but not ultimatums. We have got to have a business meeting. We've got to have one.